This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today. We're 3 minutes past the bottom of the hour, and our next guest on today's show is president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, President Richard Peterson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Glad to be here.
It's an honor. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, my name is Chakya Ish. I'm Kagwantan of the Eagle's Nest House in Sitka. My English name is Richard Peterson, and I'm president of Tlingit and Haida.
Okay. It's been a while since we had a chance to check in, and I was wondering if you could tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Sure. I think the last time we talked, we were able to do it in person.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're in this brave new world. We're working away. The tribe is doing very well. We're working to still just meet all the needs of our citizens and our staff. So many of our staff are working from home, but we're kind of rotating some in and out and making sure that we're being responsive to our citizens.
Okay. And I understand that you get a day off tomorrow as part of Tlingit and Haida Day.
Yes, absolutely. It signifies when the tribe was recognized by Congress, and so we celebrate that day every year. Usually we do it with a big staff picnic in person, but unfortunately, you know, we want to make sure we're doing our part to flatten that curve and not spread COVID or bring it upon ourselves. So we're staying at home, but our catering company, all of our employees are able to drive through and pick up a lunchbox tomorrow. So in some way, we're still sharing a meal and breaking bread together.
President Peterson, can you speak a little bit more of what that day means to you and the significance?
Well, yeah, the significance is really important. You know, the history of Tlingit and Haida, we were born out of a lawsuit, and our grandparents, the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, had wanted to sue the United States government over the loss of fisheries and timber. And so they said, hey, you can't sue us. You're not a tribe. And so then they made us a tribe. And so we're one of the oldest tribes in Alaska, actually. It's significant because that was really representative of our, as I said, our grandparents coming together and saying, hey, we shouldn't be losing this land and the resources. This is, you know, Tlingit, Haida, Ani. And so they really fought for it, and it took a lot of time, but they were successful to a degree and got that, got a settlement, and we were able to form Tlingit and Haida.
You mentioned some of your predecessors fighting, you know, for this day. What are you fighting for now, if I may ask? What are some of the challenges that you're facing at the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida?
Sure. You know, we're still just pushing forward. We want to bring economic sovereignty to our tribe, to our citizens. We have over 31,000 tribal citizens worldwide, and we want to be able to serve them. And so we're pushing through some of the barriers right now so that we can do that. You know, we still live in a time of some inequities, and we're pushing through that as well. You know, you see right now where there's a huge push for Black Lives Matter. We stand with our African-American brothers and sisters in their fight. And, you know, we have our own. You know, we're trying to challenge the inequities and make sure that we have everything we need so that our citizens can live, you know, with the fullest opportunities as anybody else, treated as anybody else. And so we're just working for that, you know. And people kind of question what that is nowadays. You know, when we had our languages taken from us, essentially, we have very few speakers comparatively now. And, you know, I think without our language, it's a struggle to kind of figure out just who we are. And so we're working to get our languages back, recognition, you know, the sacred place, these lands that are Tlingit Ani, Haida Ani. So those are the things that we work on every day.
Absolutely. You mentioned economic sovereignty. Can you give us an example of some of the projects that you're taking part in right now?
Sure. As you might know, we have started several coffee shops here in town. We have a catering business, car detailing business. What we're trying to do is bring some economic sovereignty where, you know, some don't like it when I say this, but, you know, as a tribe, sometimes it feels like you're only as sovereign as you can afford to be. When we're given, when we get money and told how and where and why, how we can serve our citizens, that doesn't feel truly sovereign. So we feel if we can get out and be prosperous and make our own money, we can decide what we want to do. We can figure out ways to serve our citizens that may not live in the service area, which is defined by Southeast Alaska. So, yeah, we're trying to bring opportunity and prosperity to our citizens.
Okay. I asked you about a few minutes ago what you're fighting for right now. On the flip side of that, what are you most proud of? What's an accomplishment that you'd like to share with us right now?
Well, right now we're in this just crazy times of this pandemic, and I think Tlingit Haida was able to early demonstrate its leadership and tribal sovereignty. We were able to, you know, we have several hundred employees. We were able to send them home safely to work from home. We were able to, I think, take part in flattening the curve here in Southeast. We were able to guarantee that our citizens were paid, you know, our employee citizens were paid. And so, you know, that was before CARES Act. That was before payroll protection. You know, we took the lead on that. And I think that's something I'm proud of, that we had built ourselves into a financial situation where we could do that. And now, you know, with the CARES Act and the Payroll Protection Act, we're able to recoup some of what we had to put out there. And right now we've formed a tribal emergency operations center, and we're working with our communities, and we're able to use the purchase power of Tlingit and Haida, and we're buying the PPEs that so many can't get a hold of because they can't make the minimum purchasing. We're able to, you know, kind of stretch our financial dollar muscle, and we're going to be buying that equipment. Much of it's on the way now. And we're going to actually be sending a lot of that out to our communities. And even our communities outside of Southeast, we're able to serve Anchorage, Seattle, and San Francisco with that. And so we're working on that now. And you know, I've had municipal leaders and state leaders reach out and say, hey, you guys have really been out in the forefront and demonstrating your leadership. And I'm really proud of that. We have a really strong executive council. Internally, we have a strong executive team and a great management team, you know, and we're trying to make sure that we put the safety and well-being of our people before everything.
Okay. Sir, if I may, I'd like to go back to inequities for a moment. You talked about languages. I'm wondering if you feel comfortable sharing with me and our listeners maybe other inequities that you or your tribal citizens may face every day here in Juneau that we might not see.
Sure. You know, and it takes difficult conversation. And I'm happy to have that conversation with people. I never shy away from it. You know, when we're talking about the education system, you know, I just had a conversation today about how perhaps many of our students are unfairly put into special ed when they really shouldn't be. You know, there's things like that. I think when you talk about place, I remember attending a CBJ meeting a couple years ago where I was told, well, Richard, you know, Juneau was never even a Native community. And I had to point out that the CBJ building was on top of the old village site. You know, I remember, I really am proud of like Sea Alaska Heritage and Douglas Indian Association and Gold Belt Heritage, all these entities that have been putting up totem poles or doing language projects. You know, it's really important to have a sense of place. And I remember when SHI a couple of years ago erected the bronze poles outside of their building, and David Boxley did a speech in Semalgut, and he said, this is probably the first time that Samalgic's been spoken here in Juneau. And I said to him afterwards, no, I can promise you that in our ancestors' times, many languages were spoken here. We traded and bartered and cooperated down the coast all the way almost to Mexico. So, you know, the sense of place here, I think, is important. The fact that our languages are, we fight just to get some equity in having them in the school system. You know, you can get credit for a foreign language and we can't even get our indigenous languages, you know, and I think we're making headway on that, but it's slow and it's something we shouldn't even have to be fighting for. It should be a given that, you know, when you're on Tlingit lands, that Tlingit will be taught. If you're on Haida lands, Haida will be taught. So, you know, there's that. And I think, you know, we need that sense of place and we need to look around and see ourselves represented in the place. We also need to see that in our elected officials, you know, on school boards, on the CBJ. And we have a few and they fight really hard and we're fighting for a better Juneau, not trying to get one leg up over another for somebody. We just want a fair place. And just like any community should be reflective of the people that live there, we don't feel that it's equitably done.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. I appreciate your words. What is next on your calendar as far as probably not too, I don't know about, are you starting to think about in-person events or gatherings, or is that still a long way off as it is, seems like for many of us?
You know, that's kind of an ongoing evaluation. We were asked to rent our hall out for an event for over 100 people and we declined. You know, we just felt that was right now probably irresponsible. But for us, we have a tribal council meeting coming up at the end of the month, and we still haven't decided what we're doing with our tribal assembly that usually happens in April. We've postponed it, but we don't know if we're just postponing it to the fall or if we're going to postpone, you know, just cancel it altogether. So we're going to come together and make those decisions. We usually, during our tribal assembly, have a president's award banquet, and we usually have close to 500 people there. Well, even if we were to have our tribal assembly, I think that would be really irresponsible for us to try to do that. So we're trying to figure out how we honor those awardees and we recognize them and their contributions. And I think, how do we utilize technology to do that? Right now, I'm calling into you with Zoom. And that's kind of become our new way of doing business. And so we're looking at how we can do that and if we can accomplish some of those things, tribal assembly and other things with doing that.
Okay. A minute ago, we were talking about inequities in Juneau, and you talked about inequities in the education system, also in developing a sense of place, more elected officials. If our listeners want to participate or get involved with you and your colleagues, what is the best way to do that?
You know, there's several ways people can come and participate in our tribal council meetings. They can provide public comment. I try to have a very open door. I hope that I'm collaborative and people find me approachable. You know, I develop relationships with others and leave myself open for that. So there's those opportunities. One of the things I'm really proud of is we developed a lunchtime chats with the tribe. And just today we had our enrollment staff answering questions and providing information on our enrollment. And so next week, and they're every Thursday at lunchtime. And so next week, we're going to be doing it with our tribal court staff. And we do it on Zoom through Facebook Live so people can interact. They can ask their questions. We encourage those questions. We encourage people to participate. If they are watching and they hit the like button, they get entered in for door prizes. We're really trying to be more transparent, more accountable and just more, is the word I'm looking for, accessible.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, that's the voice of President Peterson, the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. I really want to thank you for your time on the show today, sir. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
Just that, you know, as we're moving forward, and we know that this has been a really tough time economically for a lot of our community. You know, Tlingit and Haida is trying to be a positive partner that promotes health and well-being. And we certainly understand that these are trying times, and we want to be a good community partner and make sure that we're creating jobs and opportunity for a healthy economy here in Southeast and for our citizens worldwide.
Gunachish and Hawa. Thank you, sir.
Hawa and Deutsche Nissen.
Even though we're Northwest, we still rep the Southeast. Sit back and I will tell y'all something about me. I'm not smoking cannabis, this is just some sin to me. You're misunderstanding me, I do this one for family. It's second nature, we got a mending hall glacier. It's gonna captivate you, so you know this record major. Became the native gangster you, thanks to you. Ain't no breaks to